So we certainly have an element of the Russell Kirk stuff. We also have an element of kind of the radical Rothbardian libertarians. And we bring them together and kind of let them fight it out and, make things as lively as possible.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV. We are in Las Vegas. We're at Freedom Fest, and we're talking with Daniel McCarthy, editor-in-chief of the American Conservative. Dan,
hi,
thanks for talking.
Thanks very much.
You have brought the American Conservative periodical back from the dead. Tell us about where the American Conservative is now and what are you doing going forward?
Well, this was a magazine that got started in 2002, and a lot of people, I think, assumed from the get-go that it would be what they called paleoconservative back in the 1990s. And Pat Buchanan is, one of our contributors. He was one of our founders, as were Taki Theodorakopoulos, Scott McConnell. But from the beginning, what we wanted to do was basically present a conservatism that was more thoughtful and more sort of eclectic than what you were getting under George W. Bush, especially in foreign policy. We wanted to really oppose what we saw as being an extremely destructive war on terror that was, basically undercutting Americans' liberties as well as our security.
Well, you guys were holding down, not even the old right, and certainly not necessarily an isolationist, but a non-interventionist tradition in American conservatism.
That's right, and this was something that had a pretty long history, both before World War II, but even during the Cold War, there were always sort of patches of conservatives who wanted to rethink some of what was going on. Robert Nisbet, for example, was not a huge fan of some of the military buildup that
right.
you saw.
But even people like Russell Kirk, right?
Russell Kirk
opposed the first Gulf War back in the day and whatnot. What happened to that strain of conservatism? Part of it is World War II happened, right? And to be against American entry into World War II kind of sidelined a lot of people. But why in the post-Cold War era did the non-interventionist wing of the conservative movement fall out of favor?
There was a lot of mix-up where, right after World War II, you might have had a resurgence of the non-interventionist right. Unfortunately, because Democrats generally had control of the government at the time, the developing Republican Party line was that Democrats were responsible for losing China, for losing various other areas to communism. And so the conservative movement, as it was getting going in the late 40s and early 50s, was drawing on that kind of tradition. And even though it was still somewhat skeptical of certain kinds of intervention, they also wanted to pin the blame on liberals or Democrats.
Right. And that, reached its high point when Bob Dole assured people when he was running as vice president in 76 that Dole Ford administration wouldn't get us into those Democrats.
Yeah, that's right.
What's your unique role in political debate and discourse?
We're the conservatives who are not part of the movement. We're, sort of the independent conservatives, the individualist conservatives in some sense. So we certainly have an element of the Russell Kirk stuff. We also have an element of kind of the radical Rothbardian libertarians. And we bring them together and kind of let them fight it out and, make things as lively as possible.
Where are the dividing lines between a kind of libertarian and conservative alliance? I mean, in the National Review days, there was a great talk of fusionism. You guys are also fusionists of a different type because you do have libertarian strains and conservative strains. What's the dividing line between your conservatives and
libertarians? Well, I think the deeper kind of philosophical differences, between a Burke, for example, and a John Stuart Mill are the ones that are the most productive to explore because that actually gets you to a lot of broader questions about what society is trying to achieve, whether it should be dynamism, for example, as your colleague Virginia Postrel has described, or whether, sort of as T.S. Eliot has described, tradition and the individual talent merge together and reinforce one another. I think that's the interesting debate, more so than just politics about, gay rights or abortion or social issues versus economic issues.
What do you have coming up in future issues of the American Conservative?
We've got some great stuff. The next issue is going to be looking at both the 10th anniversary of 9/11 and the 20th anniversary of the collapse of the Soviet Union. We have Andrew Bacevich writing a great piece for that. And then down the line, we're going to have John Mearsheimer and a few other scholars talking about basically where Israel's going and the future of U.S. and Israel relations.
Do you find that you're picking up more interest among people who traditionally are aligned on the left?
Yeah, I find we're picking up interest all across the border, but certainly people like David Reif, for example, who are on the left but who are kind of eclectic and not necessarily part of a movement, very interested in the American Conservative.
Okay, and what's the best way to subscribe to the American Conservative or to read it on
a daily
basis?
You can go to www.amconmag.com, and you can both subscribe there and also read our online content.
Okay, well, Daniel McCarthy, thank you very much.
Thanks, Nick.
For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie.